Hello, Christian. Stand by for music. Stand by for what else?
Well, Paul and I would like you for the next 3 weeks on our Heaven Express program. We're going to be celebrating, praising God for, and discussing one of the most recognized Christian holidays of all time.
In fact, I will be asking our guest today that very question.
Oh, that's very good, honey, except what is the very question?
Oops, I forgot to ask. What is Easter?
Well, there's another holiday before that that Christians celebrate, Palm Sunday. Are we going to discuss Palm Sunday?
Actually, we're going to look at them both collectively for several weeks, I believe.
For three, yeah. Well, on Good Friday, folks, you know that is known by Christians as the Friday right before Easter Sunday. And most churches also recognize that day as the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross.
I sure hope so. You know, dear, there's so much to be told here about the death, the resurrection, the new covenant given to us on Easter. That is the very reason we're going to broadcast this worship together for several weeks.
Wonderful. I suppose that you're even going to tell me that somehow the Easter candy fits into this whole picture.
I think I can just fit some very nicely right now, right here in my mouth. Did you bring any chocolate-covered peanut butter cups?
No, I didn't.
All aboard.
Is that the train I hear? Could it be drawing near? Could it be the Heaven Express? If the Lord came today, could you say, I'm ready for the Heaven Express?
If I should die tomorrow,
or you, my Christian, someday we'll be together, forever and ever, amen.
You know, I was thinking, honey, you know, Scripture tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. There it is again.
All aboard, they call. Jesus paid it all. He's the ticket for the Heaven Express.
And you are blessed on the Heaven Express.
I know we are.
Yes, we are blessed on the Heaven Express.
Well, we're back. The next segment of our program is what we call the Heart of the Composer, Brian. I think we'll go right into that. Why don't you cue that up, and we'll see if that's going to work for us.
Tonight, dear listeners, we are going to hear the story about the man who sang the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And he wrote this song based on the scripture, Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. George Beverly Shea, America's beloved gospel singer, has traveled with the Billy Graham Evangelical team since 1946. He was born in 1909 in Winchester, Ontario, where his dad served as the pastor of the Wesleyan Methodist Church. Bev's mother, the church organist, had a piano that came from England. And seated in front of its keys, she became a sort of human alarm clock for the family. Every weekday morning, she would strike an E-flat chord, and she would sing the song, "Singing I Go Along Life's Road, for Jesus Has Lifted My Load." And on Sundays, she used a different selection. She used Isaac Watts' hymn, "Lord, in the morning thou shalt hear, to thee lift up mine eye." So when Bev was 21, he began working for the Mutual Insurance Company of New York, assisting medical examiners in obtaining information relating to the applicant's health history. Among those who came into the office was Fred Allen, host of a coast-to-coast radio talent show. Learning that Bev liked to sing, Mr. Allen arranged an audition, and a few weeks later, Bev found himself singing "Go Down Moses" to a nationwide audience on the National Broadcasting Company. Well, though he lost the contest to a yodeler, he received $15 and a taste of widespread fame. One Sunday shortly afterward, Bev sat down at his mother's organ to practice for the morning's church service, and his eyes fell on a clipping she had left for him there. It was a poem written in 1922 by Mrs. Ray Miller. As Bev read the words, they spoke to him about his own aims and ambitions in life. An appropriate melody came easily, practically composing itself. When Bev's mother came in from the kitchen, he played and he sang it for her. Wrapping both arms around him, she placed a wet cheek against his. And in church that morning, Bev sang "I'd Rather Have Jesus" publicly for the very first time. In later years, it became a sort of signature song that expressed his own decisions in life. Just one set of the lyrics says, "I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name." So here is "I'd Rather Have Jesus."
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Mm-hmm. That was very nice.
Thank you.
We're going to turn now to a segment of our program we call Pearls of Youth. Not everyone has a blessing of a godly grandfather. There are many who never knew the grandfather at all. I call this segment Pearls of Wisdom. Here he is, Brian Savage, reading Pearls of Wisdom from a godly grandpa.
Would you agree that Easter has always been a time of reflection for children and adults? When my brothers and twin sister were young enough to get treats from Grandma, we always got chocolate eggs filled with some kind of cream and dried fruit. It was always the same gift, but oh, how we looked forward to that egg. It'd be wise if you hid or protected your gift. Well, you know, these things happen, and it always seemed like somebody else was eating my egg. I also noticed, and I don't know if it's because I kept getting bigger, but it seemed that every year, the eggs kept getting smaller. I'm sure my grandma paid as much or more every year for those eggs, but I suspect that both realities were true. I got bigger, hungrier, and the eggs got smaller. We don't always want or expect life to change, but it always does. It never fails. I have heard it said that the only thing for sure is change. My siblings are old now. My parents and one brother are with the Lord. God has drawn us all to Him. He has put us all in one basket. A basket full of good things. God is faithful. The changes that He has in store for us is out of this world. My eggs are all in one basket, a basket owned by our King. How sweet it is.
And how sweet could it possibly be if not that? My goodness, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, absolutely. Yeah. Folks, we want to thank you for joining us today on the Heaven Express program. Brian, we're going to turn to Glenn and I had a few months ago a very special guest on our program. It was a group called Believe. You remember when they were here?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to go ahead and do that segment for you right now. Welcome to our studio via recording, a group called Believe. And so, the song, I believe, is called, do you have it, Brian? What song is it?
He touched me?
He touched me. Let's see if it comes out.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that just absolutely gorgeous?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have in our studio a very special guest. I guess we should start out our program today sharing with you that This has been a very interesting week, hasn't it, my dear?
Well, yes, it has. It's been very busy. And I just kind of wonder sometimes, how do we get so busy?
You know, if it's serving our Lord, then I don't mind. What an honor, as a matter of fact, to do that.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah. But, you know, it makes me think of a quote that you're always saying from Jim Elliot.
What quote are you thinking of?
Well, the one that says, "It's not foolish to give what you can't keep to gain what you can never lose."
Mm-hmm. Yes. Pastor Josh Ross is in our studio. Do you remember, have you ever read anything by Elizabeth Elliot or Jim Elliot?
Yes, I have.
Remember how he died?
Yeah, I remember hearing the story. Actually, they made a movie of it a while ago.
Called
so maybe
Spears.
End of the Spear. Yeah, it came out, I don't know, probably half a dozen years ago or so. So I think a lot of folks have had an opportunity to hear about their story. It's pretty remarkable.
It is.
Absolutely. If it is God who gives us this life, then what is that we can really cling to? Nothing except God.
Well, that's true. Well, honey, just for thinking's sake, what do you think the greatest gifts are that we have in life?
Well, that's a good question. Let me try to respond to that. Well, we have life.
Mm-hmm.
Birth.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly God thought that was important to give his identity. Remember, God gave Adam in the garden?
And Eve gave Adam and Eve their names. He gave us family. And he identified us as his own. God gave his own son as a promise. And finally, God gives us his word to map out our way. And those are some pretty great gifts, aren't they?
Jim, would you do me a favor? Would you take over for me here?
I sure will. In the incredible love of Jesus and the absolute assurance that God is the master of love. So our guest is going to share with us the divine evidence that just how much God means when he describes his love for us.
Our guest this evening is one loving pastor, too. Let me introduce to you now, from the New City Fellowship Church right here in Marion, Pastor Josh Haas. Pastor Haas, where is this New City Fellowship Church?
Well, New City Fellowship is wherever the people meet together. So sometimes it's been at the YMCA, sometimes it's been at the Marion Chamber of Commerce, sometimes it's been at our homes, been at your house a couple of times for baptisms.
Yeah.
So it's wherever we gather. Typically, though, and I think this is what you're asking, our regular meeting place is 540, so 540 Windsor Street. It's at the corner of Bell Fountain Avenue and Windsor Street. It's the Seventh-day Adventist Church building, and we rent space off of them, so we have the building all to ourselves on Sundays. And that's where New City Fellowship meets, there at the Seventh-day Adventist Church building.
Yep. That reminds me of a children's song.
Okay.
I am the church, you are
that's
the
right.
church.
Yeah, that's
we
good,
are the church together.
That's some good theology.
No
in that
matter
song.
Where we are.
I appreciate that song. Yeah.
Well, I do too. Yeah.
Pastor, this is the time of year the whole world reflects on Easter. That's why we've asked you to be with us. This indeed is a time for us as Christians to share the greatest story of love that has ever been told. Thanks, Pastor Josh, for being with us today. So where do we begin?
Well, we could begin all the way back to what we heard just a little bit ago. Paul was saying that God gave Adam his name in the garden and identity, and it really began in the Garden of Eden when the human race, the human species, fell into sin, rejected God's ways and God's revelation, sin brings death. So ever since then, we've been under the curse of sin and the sentence of death because we all sin. So that's going way back. God's answer to that ultimately was his son, Jesus, that Easter is such an important time of year because an important day on the calendar. And I like the way the this was set up. It's that Easter is recognized all around the world. You know, some people quibble over the name Easter, that it's not really you don't find that word in the Bible. And I can get that. I mean, we don't really... the name Easter is what it is, and it points to what it points to today, and it's useful. But really what it's pointing to is the most important event in the history of Earth, really, is in the history of history, human history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. And on that note, I would begin. I suppose it might be helpful to begin by establishing that really took place, that Jesus really was raised from the dead. A lot of people take it for granted and they don't know why they believe it, and others maybe are skeptical that he was risen from the dead. And so I have here something that pastor, he's retired now, but he still writes and teaches. His name is John Piper, and he has 8 reasons why I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I thought maybe we could take time this this afternoon and go through those.
Great.
Those reasons.
Wonderful.
Does that sound good? So
yes, it does.
What I'll do is I'll just read these, and hopefully the listeners can follow along and have better reasons for believing that Easter is it's right for us at Easter time and in fact at all times to believe that Jesus rose from the grave. So the first one is this. The first reason is that Jesus himself testified to his coming resurrection from the dead. Jesus predicted that he would be risen from the dead. So one reason why we believe it is because he predicted it. He spoke openly about what would happen to him. He predicted his own death and resurrection multiple times. You can read about this in the gospel records. And some people push back and they say, well, that's just what the disciples wrote later, you know, that he predicted his own resurrection. But it's not just that he predicted it directly, but also he showed that the whole Bible pointed to the resurrection, his resurrection from the grave. So, for instance, he talks about Jonah, the sign of Jonah, 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. And Jesus said, so the Son of Man will do the same. And in fact, his enemies remembered him saying that he would destroy the temple and in 3 days build it again. And he was talking about his own resurrection from the dead. And in fact, Matthew records in Matthew 27:63, they came to, I forget who it was, I think it was the Roman ruler at the time, and Jesus' accusers came and they said, sir, we remember how that imposter, now they're talking about Jesus, while he was still alive, said, after 3 days I will rise. And so they posted a guard outside the tomb in order for that not to happen, or not for the rumor of it not to happen. So there's all kinds of evidence that Jesus predicted during his earthly ministry his resurrection from the grave. So that's the first reason. He predicted it. Second is the tomb was empty on Easter. No one really debates that. I mean, the historical record is pretty much across the board that the tomb was empty on Easter morning. The earliest documents claim this. We're talking about the gospel records. When they said they went in to find the body of the Lord Jesus and it wasn't there, his body couldn't be found. And there really are 4 possible ways to explain this. First, that his foes stole his body, and that just wouldn't make sense because that would go against what they were trying to do, which was get rid of him. And if they had stolen it and this religion was taking off all of a sudden, then his foes, his enemies, would have just produced the body and said, hey, it was us, you know. So that explanation doesn't work. Second, his friends stole the body, and that was, in fact, an early rumor. You can read about that in Matthew 28. And that's just not very probable because his friends couldn't have overcome the guards of the tomb. And more important, would his friends have begun to preach with such authority that Jesus was raised, knowing that the whole thing was a fraud if they had taken his body? Would they have risked their lives and accepted beatings for something they knew was a fraud? So that explanation doesn't work. Here's a third one. Some people have argued that Jesus wasn't actually dead when they put him in the tomb, but only unconscious when they laid him in the tomb. That he awoke, removed the stone, overcame the soldiers, and vanished from history after a few meetings with his disciples. And so this just becomes ridiculous that a man, even if he wasn't all the way dead, forget the spear in his side and the fact that he was recognized by many witnesses as being dead. If he, it just doesn't make any sense they would have had the strength to remove that enormous stone and overcome his foes. So the fourth option is that God actually did raise Jesus from the dead. And this is what the Bible points to, and this is what why it's a good reason to believe it. This is what he said would happen, and it's what his disciples reported had happened. And so that's the way to go with that. Third, the disciples were almost immediately transformed from men who were hopeless and fearful after the crucifixion into men who were confident and bold to witness after the resurrection. You can read about this and the ends of the Gospels, but especially of Acts, where I just met this morning at our church, Peter denying Christ three times and leaving and weeping. And Peter was done. I mean, when Jesus was arrested in the garden, Peter had really thrown in the towel. But then you turn to the book of Acts and you see him preaching before enormous crowds that Jesus was risen from the grave. And really, there's no other way to explain that transformation. It wasn't just Peter. It was all the disciples, except for Judas. But that's a different story. But these disciples all went from being from fleeing and being hopeless and fearful to men who were bold and confident to witness that the resurrection had taken place. That's the third reason. Fourth, Paul claimed, the Apostle Paul now, who wrote 13 of the New Testament books, he claimed that not only had he seen the risen Christ, but also that 500 others had seen him also, and that many were still alive when he made this public claim. So you can read about this in the book of 1 Corinthians. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about how Jesus, the risen Christ, came and met with him. But he also says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, it said, "Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." And what makes that so significant is that was written to Greeks who were skeptical of such claims of resurrection. And for Paul to say that many of these witnesses are still alive, like that's the best you could corroborate a story in the ancient world. So Paul, he wouldn't have made that claim. That was a risky thing to say unless it was true. And because it could have been disproved with just a little firsthand research. So there you have the Apostle Paul, not just saying that he had seen the risen Christ, but that more than 500 had seen him and that many were still alive. You could go interview them and see if their story's checked out. So that's the fourth reason. Fifth is the sheer existence of a thriving, empire-conquering early Christian church. This supports the truth of a resurrection claim. The church spread on the power of the testimony that Jesus was raised from the dead and that God had made him both Lord and Christ. That's the message of Peter's sermon at Pentecost, Acts 2:36. So to see how the Christian faith spread from the point of Jesus being misunderstood before the cross and crucified to then seeing the Christian faith grow and spread the way it did, the lordship of Christ over all nations is based on his victory over death. This is the message that spread all over the world. And it has its power to cross cultures and create one new people of God as a strong testimony to the truth of the resurrection. Sixth, the Apostle Paul, his conversion supports the truth of the resurrection. Paul was not just an unbeliever, but a persecutor of the church, and he was on his way. You could read this in Acts chapter 9. He was on his way on the Damascus Road to go arrest Christians. And along the way, Jesus appeared to him, and this was Paul's consistent testimony before cities, before Jews and Gentiles, before rulers, everywhere he went. And the people that day were astonished. They're like, wait, isn't this Saul? Isn't this guy that was persecuting us? And now he's preaching the gospel? And Paul actually says the reason God saved me was to make me an example of the resurrection power of Christ and his saving grace. Wow. Paul was real. He wrote letters, and I mean, he based it on the resurrection of Christ. So that's a good reason for believing. Seventh, only two more here. Seventh, the New Testament witnesses do not bear the stamp of dupes or deceivers. How do you, and this is what Piper writes, how do you credit a witness? How do you decide whether to believe a person's testimony? The decision to give credence to a person's testimony is not the same as completing a mathematical equation. The certainty, this kind of certainty in terms of witnesses is of a different kind, yet it can be just as firm. When a witness is dead, we can base our judgment of him only on the content of his writings and testimonies of others about him. So how do Peter and John and Matthew and Paul stack up? These men's writings do not read like works of gullible, easily deceived, or deceiving men. Their insights into human nature are profound. Their personal commitment is sober and carefully stated. Their teachings are coherent and do not look like the invention of unstable men. So that's a really neat thing, is these are multiple witnesses. And when you read them, they all sound like credible witnesses. And what they were testifying to mattered greatly to them. And eighth, there is a self-authenticating glory in the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection. The New Testament teaches that God sent the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus said, it's better for me to go away, because if I go away, he'll send the Helper to you. Mm-hmm. The Helper was the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, he will glorify me. And that's what we see happening. I mean, we saw it this morning at our church, how to see the power of the resurrected Christ be communicated as God opens the eyes of unbelieving people. 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we see evidence of the resurrection in the life-transforming power of the gospel and bringing people from spiritual death to life. So those are eight reasons to believe that the resurrection is historical fact, and it's a good reason to celebrate Easter.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And listening to those reasons, it seems as, we love Christmas, and Christmas is just celebrated with so much joy, and Easter ought to...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, took on human flesh. But the whole reason he took on human flesh was so that he could die as a man on the cross in our place. And even that wasn't enough of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Easter is the culmination of God's plan. I mean, when he was raised from the dead, and we could talk about that too, that was the seal of his sonship, of his kingship, that he had paved the way to salvation, that he had made a new way to live, that there's life after this life. And yeah.
Well, let me ask you.
So Easter is hugely important. Christians should be all about, actually every Sunday, the reason we worship on Sundays is because it's the day that Jesus was risen from the
resurrection.
Well, I was just going to say yes. That every Sunday is supposed
your thunder
to be.
That's right.
Yeah, well, Easter Sunday.
Within the broadcasting area of this station, how many people do you think hasn't heard really the depth of Easter?
Two people out of everybody? Is that what you think, Paul?
It's a guess.
Yeah. I think there's quite a few. I think especially as I've talked to younger people, they're just, if they've heard it, it doesn't stick. And I mean, right. When I share the gospel with younger people, I mean like teenagers and young adults, it's like they've never heard this before.
Right.
So I don't, it's hard for me to guess a percentage or numbers, but we need to be preaching this and proclaiming this because it's good news.
Well, you know, I'm seeing that more and more too, just with the media that we have out there now, how you can personalize your media so you really don't hear
anything
you don't want to hear.
Oh, yeah, you just hear what you already know, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the message is so important.
It is important. And it's important. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to do one more song from the Believer group. Brian, as soon as you cue that up, we'll go right there. What the name of the song is?
We're going to play There Is a Redeemer.
Wonderful.
Here we go.
It's a great follow-up song for everything Pastor Josh just told us about Easter.
Great discussion, guys. Great.
Well, as we're waiting, just everyone, just think through the 8 points that Josh gave us. Is there a quick way you could hit them real quick?
Oh, boy. Here are the 8 reasons why I believe Jesus rose from the dead. He testified to it himself. The tomb was truly empty, and his resurrection is the way to explain that. The disciples were transformed. Paul said there are multiple 500 witnesses. Paul himself, his conversion, the Apostle Paul, you can read about his story in Acts 7 through 9 and onward. The credibility of the New Testament witnesses themselves, multiple witnesses writing their accounts, and it all sounds credible. And eighth is the self-authenticating glory of the gospel, that the gospel of Jesus' resurrection has power.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Discouraged, and why do the shadows come, and why does my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when
Yeah, Josh, speaking of Easter, what kind of memories do you have? Do you have a special memory?
I have a lot of good memories of Easter. The one that comes to mind, though, is when I was a young guy, I was probably 6 or 7 years old. We had dressed up.
Hold on to that thought.
What's that?
You know, my dear, I apologize to you. You want to make a comment on that song?
No, that's all right. Go ahead
and make the comment.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank Brian for playing His Eye Is on the Sparrow, because I just wanted to give a shout out and praise to God, because he just brought me through another cornea transplant, and it is just absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Okay, that's
Very
all
good.
I wanted to
Very
say.
Very good. Amen.
So finish your thought.
Okay, yes. So we are all dressed up in our bright colors on Easter morning, and me and my two sisters and my parents, we were walking to church. We lived just a few blocks away growing up from church, and probably because I had a really bright shirt on. I don't know what all the reasons were, but a butterfly came and landed on my shirt and just stayed there for a little while we walked. And so I've been really impressed by that. And of course, it hasn't, as I've grown up, that the meaning of that's impressed me, that the whole idea of a butterfly being transformed in its chrysalis and resurrection change, you know, the what's promised to us. And for instance, Romans 6, you could read that chapter and see that there's new creation because of the resurrection of Christ. So yeah, the butterfly landing on my shirt, it's just an image that always stick with me. Beautiful morning.
It's wonderful. I love eyes too. They have a very strong...
You know, Josh, we're just about out of time.
Okay. I'd
like to ask to give your church telephone number and tell us what the people can find on these coming up worships in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, yeah, very good. Well, worship is, again, 540 Windsor Street, right at the corner of Windsor and Bell Fountain Avenue, Seventh-day Adventist Church Building. We're there on Sundays. 10:30 is a great time to show up. The service starts at 10:45, but that'll give you some time to settle in. You can check out our website. It's www.newcityfellowship.church, and that's the best way to find out about us.
Thank
folks, it's time for us to say goodbye to you. So God bless.
God bless you.
And be in church this week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just think my prayer to the real God. I said, hey, man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but I am not one of them. I said, if you need some help, if you're tired, you need 12 black folks' names, I'll put them on a piece. If you need something close to the house, I'll give you that, too.